values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show, KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks for being here. Appreciate you spending some time with the show. We are continuing to have conversations with the candidates on both sides of the aisle in all of those statewide races. Now we talk with the Democrat candidate for Secretary of State, Adrian Fontes. He joins us again. Welcome back to the show.
Good to be back. Thanks so much for having me. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing well. Looking through your bio and your time in public service, your time in military service, what motivates you to continue to go back to elected office?
Well, we're on the verge of not ever having free and fair elections again if the folks who are continuing to perpetuate the big lie win. And so we can't afford to have those types of people who don't have faith in the American public, who don't have faith in the Republicans and Democrats and independents and libertarians who ran our elections, the people who actually did the work. We can't let the faithless win. And I've spent too much time and energy and seen too many other people even give their lives for this democracy. So we've got to protect it.
All right. In fairness, within the last week, Hillary Clinton has said we will never know the truth about 2016. So it's both sides of the aisle that have people that doubt our elections at times.
Well, in fairness, there hasn't been an organized effort by the political left to completely overtake all of elections and doing it in public. Look, the folks who are adherents to the big lie are spending literally millions of dollars to train people to harass voters at polling places. Unfortunately, the political left can't organize itself well enough to fight hard against that. The folks on the extremist big lie political right sent armed people to stop the Constitution from happening, because not because Andy Biggs lost, not because Paul Gosar lost, not because Debbie Lesko lost, but somehow they all kept getting elected. But the election was completely corrupt. Just right there, that hypocrisy and promoting it and getting it to the place where people are leaving because of violent threats against them. You can whataboutism a little bit, I think. That's not unreasonable. But the reality is the vast majority of the big lie election denial and democracy denial is coming from a chunk of the extremist right wing. Not all Republicans, let's be fair. But those folks are they don't want democracy to continue in America.
And the only reason why I push back a little bit, because I want to talk about your campaign. The only reason why I push back a little bit is because we've seen the same kind of violent behavior and the same kind of extremist behavior in light of what happened in the Supreme Court decision with Roe v. Wade on the other side of the political aisle. A lot of that violence right here in Arizona. And my goal, anyway, is to end that extremist behavior in all counts, and let's get back to reasonable debate on things. If there's election integrity, let's get back to your race. If there's legitimate
election... I 100% agree with you, but let's be really clear, okay? For the first time in 50 years, American citizens have had a fundamental right stripped away from them. For the first time in the history of our nation, they've had a fundamental right stripped away from them. And look, I get it. Some of those folks in the state Senate want to pretend like what happened was an insurrection, but it was not organized by the president of the United States. They were not armed. And yeah, they kicked in a door. And I condemn all violence when it comes to what should be peaceful political protest. I'll say it right here on this show. But you cannot equivocate the two. That is an impossible stretch of logic.
All right. And this is where we're going to end up getting into a debate about something that's not your campaign, because those people were trying to break into the state Senate to stop the state Senate business, just like the people on January 6th broke into the U.S. Capitol with the attempt to stop the certification of the election. Two different issues. But they were not successful. Just because they weren't successful in getting in and stopping the Senate didn't mean that's not what they were trying to do.
I will 100% push back, because there was no sitting president of the United States who had just lost an election here. We did not have coordinated direction from folks from inside of the chamber as we did on January 6th. Moreover, I think that what you generally see here is there was a lack of people dying. There was a significant lack of people dying. Yes. People kicking in doors, I get it. But the peaceful transfer of power was not at stake here. This was not an attempted coup to have one person installed as against the Constitution of the United States. It was a protest that, granted, got out of hand. I will give that to you. I will concede to you. Maybe there was an overreaction on the side of law enforcement as well as a small few of the protesters. But to equivocate these two is patently unfair. Theoretically, you might be able to make that stretch, but man, okay, that rubber band is going to break on you.
Well, and I'm and this is where I hate doing this, because this time for you is supposed to be about your campaign, but you're the one that's equivocating and making excuses for bad behavior, and I'm not. I denounced January 6th.
Well, hold on a second. No, I'm not making excuses for the bad behavior.
You started off
a second ago. I told you a second ago. I condemn that type of violence.
But you started off
that ought to be a peaceful protest. And the bottom line is this: my campaign is about the truth, and it's about calling what is real. And let's look at my campaign. Let's look at the election that I ran in 2020. You didn't see me complaining and moaning about my very, very, very narrow loss in 2020. I stood up with integrity and honor, and I said the votes that were counted, and I conceded my election immediately when it became impossible for me statistically to win.
Yeah, moreover, and you deserve credit for that.
I did not perpetuate a lie against the vote of the American public. That's the kind of integrity that we don't see in a lot of folks who are continuing to grift on the big lie, take money from people for these alleged fights against election problems. And look, Arizona's voters and America's voters are sick and tired of all of the nonsensical BS that we've heard from just a few folks. I worked hand in glove with the Republican Board of Supervisors, who has pushed back mightily against the big lie. I worked closely with the incoming county recorder, Stephen Richer, who is now running, I think, a pretty good ship in what used to be my office. So, I'm not going to allow the kind of false equivalence that some people are promoting. I just, on your show minutes ago, condemned that violence. But I have yet to hear some people who are saying, oh, it was just a tourist walk on the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. Nothing bad happened. They weren't armed. There was no organization. I have yet to hear any of them come forward with the same kind of integrity. When that happens, then we can move on to other issues.
And that's where, first of all, as I was trying to say, you deserve a lot of credit for the way you handled your loss in 2020, because I give you a lot of credit. You ran the election. You defended the election, which meant you had to defend the fact that you lost that race. And I commend you for that. And I think we talked about this before. The only reason why this devolved into kind of a debate between you and I on this issue is because I have been on. I just did a hit on CNN with Clint Hickman this week in saying that the violence and the rancor and this vitriol has got to stop. If we continue to pay attention to the extremists on both sides, nothing ever gets done, which is why I think we need to have some reason and listen to have conversations about elections to make sure they're free and fair without the extremists on either side ruining the debate.
100% I agree. And I think the actions of myself as an elected official, as the county recorder, speak way louder than any of the words in any of the debates. Listen, we saw 500,000 more voters added to Maricopa County's voter registration rolls during my term of office. That means we have more American voices in our elections. That's a good thing. We saw 600,000 more votes cast between 2016 and 2020, which was a very good thing because we have a better view of what American voters think. That's a good thing. All of the programs that we started here in Maricopa County, and I'd like to take statewide, like vote centers where anyone can vote anywhere, like the ballot tracking system where you literally get an electronic receipt for having voted by mail. That's something that hundreds of thousands of Maricopa County voters enjoy. All Arizona voters should have that. Now, I'm the only candidate in this race that's a veteran of the Marine Corps, an attorney, and CIRA certified. I'm the only candidate in this race on either side of the aisle who has actually had hands-on experience running elections, including all of the logistics, all the security, all of the purchasing and boring stuff that happens years ahead of time. That is the stuff of this candidate right now. And I think that when we're looking at merit, when we're looking at skill set, when we're looking at experience, moreover, when we're looking at electability, there's hardly anybody in this race who can measure up, certainly not on the Democratic side of the aisle. And I'm ready for the fight come November, because we're going to be fighting against the big lie, not just whatever Republican comes out of that primary.
And I got that's exactly the issues I wanted to get to. I wanted to get your stance on all those issues, and I'm glad you got them in. If people want to learn more about your campaign, where do they find you?
They can go to electfontes.com. That's electfontes. It's F-O-N-T-E-S. And I'm absolutely certain that the folks in Bullhead, Lake Havasu City, and Quartzsite, who I visited with yesterday on my Arizona side of the Colorado River run, appreciated the fact that I was out there. This is a statewide campaign. In fact, we're going to Kayenta and Chinle next week on the day that ballots drop, because our indigenous Americans were here first, and they deserve to be visited on the first day of ballots being in hand. I really appreciate the chance to chat with folks. Again, it's electfontes.com, and this old Marine is ready to fight for Arizona's voters.
All right, I look forward to having you back. Thanks for coming on.
Anytime. Thanks so much for the little heat there. That's a lot of fun.
It was fun. Thanks, Adrian. I appreciate it. That's Adrian Fontes. He is running for Secretary of State on the Democrat side. Coming up in a moment, we are going to speak with Pinal County Sheriff Lamb. He is going to talk with us about what's happened at the border and what it's going to mean for his economy and his sheriff's office in his town. We'll talk about that in just a moment.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Who doesn't love Rick James? We got to talk about this border issue. It is immensely important. We were scheduled to speak with Pinal County Sheriff Mark Lamb, and he's been unavailable all day, in and out, which makes sense. He's very busy. We haven't heard from him yet. We're going to try to get him later in the show if we can. But I want to talk about the Supreme Court ruling that allows the president to end the Remain in Mexico policy. Again, these decisions are not just about the decision on this case. It's about presidential powers and when you cross that line and when you don't. We've seen people get pushed back on occasion. Trump got pushed back by the Supreme Court. Obama got pushed back by the Supreme Court. And that's what they do. And it sets limits, not just in this case, but in other cases of what a president can and can't do. So they didn't make a judgment on whether Remain in Mexico was good or bad. They made a judgment on whether or not the president of the United States has the ability to end it. And he does. So Sheriff Daniels down in southern Arizona was on this morning with Arizona's Morning News. I let people hear this, and it has to do with how many people, their frustration in what's happening and how it's going to get worse. So this is the frustration right now and the concern of it getting even worse than it already is.
We saw the other day when you had the 53 migrants die in the van, speaking to our fellow sheriffs. I was in Kansas City with sheriffs and Border Patrol when that happened. And hearing the frustration, both at the sheriff level, the leadership of Border Patrol, the frustration of what's going on this border, and then to have President Biden's press secretary come out and say, we have a secure border. What an insult to us to wear a badge down here. I was out working last night with my team, my interdiction team, dealing with, they took a smuggler down last night, smuggler driver last night. He's out of the Phoenix area. Within an hour, we're out there towing the vehicle. Border Patrol took the migrants. Within 2 hours later, I'm stopping him again. He admitted that he had made 5 to 6 successful trips here in Cochise County smuggling. There is no consequences on this border, and that's what frustrates the heck out of me. The rule of law is being fractured here once again. And then you look at the fentanyl. I got to throw this in there. Arizona leads the country in fentanyl incidents. We just got an update on that. We are leading the country, which equates to 300 overdoses of deaths a day in this country. So, again, the more we neglect it, the worse it's going to get.
And that's absolutely the case. You've got border sheriffs across the southern border of the United States that are experts. They should be consulted. And one of the things that Sheriff Daniels was talking about is that this is the only administration that has never worked with them on any level. I didn't agree with the policies of the Obama administration either. All those unaccompanied minors that came in under the Obama administration, where all of those children-filled cages that were in pictures under the Trump administration were built and filled by the Obama administration. I didn't agree with those policies. I was in southern Texas and saw what was happening. It was wrong then. But President Obama called himself the deportation president. He said, and he was bragged about deporting more people than George W. Bush did in his presidency. This administration has no intention of changing its ways. It is myopic. It is almost as if they have blinders on and they are moving in one direction and nothing is going to deter them. the White House press secretary to tell the American people and the rest of the world that the border is closed is such a horrible statement to make, because it's just a lie. It is just a lie. And the qualification of that statement was the reason why these people are sneaking in other very desolate areas of the border is because the ports themselves are closed. So the qualification there is so arrogant. For her to say that is just a horrible thing to say when everyone knows it's not true. The vice president of the United States was disappointed that the governor of Texas politicized this. And I thought, my gosh, you know, the level of hypocrisy of what we're seeing on these issues. The American people are speaking. The poll numbers for this president are lower than they were for President Trump. His poll numbers continue to descend, and it's because people, even on his own side of the aisle, are questioning his capability of doing the job because of their refusal to change gears when things go the wrong way. Nobody expects perfection, but what they do expect is for a president to adjust when things need to be adjusted. In a moment, we talk about abortion, ending the filibuster, and packing the Supreme Court. Some new audio of the president calling for the end of the filibuster, and some old audio where he defended the filibuster. That's next.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks for being here. Appreciate you spending some time with us. The topic of abortion, ending the filibuster, and the response. I had a pretty spirited debate, I will say, not heated, but a spirited debate with one of the candidates for the Secretary of State's office, Adrian Fontes. And it was more about, from my perspective, and I wish I had done it a little differently, because the candidate's time is the candidate time in those interviews. And I didn't mean to push back as much and take up so much time. I want you to hear from the candidates in those candidate interviews. But the debate was about, in my opinion, the debate was about anger. And I don't think it should be condoned on either side. It shouldn't be equivocated. And I think there was a bit of that equivocation that was going on. And here's why I say that. I don't think my side of the aisle is right all the time. The bad behavior, when it happens on my side of the aisle, angers me because I end up getting lumped in with it. I think we all feel that way. And there is a fracturing within the Republican Party, but there's fracturing in the Democratic Party, too. There are extremist views that are trying to lead the way in both parties. And what I mean by extremist views are when they become violent. I'm not talking about whether I agree with an opinion or not. I'm talking about people that think that anger and vitriol and name calling and screaming and breaking things is the way to behave. And I don't agree with that. But I also don't agree with changing the rules just because it doesn't suit you. That's not for both sides of the aisle. I want you to hear something. The president of the United States advocating for the suspension of or an exception to the filibuster when it comes to Roe v. Wade, because he wants these laws to be written by Congress, and he knows you're never going to get 60 votes in the Senate for it. And so this is him saying that he wants to see the filibuster, at least in this case, ended.
I believe we have to codify Roe v. Wade in the law, and the way to do that is to make sure the Congress votes to do that. And if the filibuster gets in the way, it's like voting rights, it should be, we provide an exception for this, require an exception to the filibuster for this action to deal with the Supreme Court decision.
Now, if you go back to 2005, May 23rd, actually, President Biden, at the time Senator Biden, who spent the vast majority of his political career in the United States Senate, has used the filibuster many times, has been a part of filibusters many times, and in this case is actually telling you why it's important to keep the filibuster.
At its core, the filibuster is not about stopping a nominee or a bill. It's about compromise and moderation. That's why the founders put unlimited debate in. That's what it's about, engendering compromise and moderation.
The House of Representatives is called the People's House. It is a body that is a one-seat majority, and you control everything in there, but it's also the one-vote majority wins over. 435 people voting, one vote in majority wins the vote in the House of Representatives. The Senate has always been called the saucer that cools the drink. And the filibuster allows the minority party to have input to be able to stop a bill and to force compromise. And both sides of the political aisle have been hypocritical in trying to end it, or at least suggesting ending it in part of their, you know, some of the Democrats, some of the Republicans. And they both have been part of the hypocrisy of saying that it's a necessary thing that is in there. President Biden knows the value of the filibuster in that body as a senator. He also understands the frustration of that filibuster as the president not being able to get things done. But you don't change the rules because you don't get your way. Sheriff Daniels down in southern Arizona started off his criticisms of what's going to happen in southern Arizona by saying that he respects the Supreme Court's decision. That's the way our country is supposed to behave. You fight to change things. You disagree passionately. You talk about the adverse effects of what's going to happen because of this decision. And all of those other things are true. What you don't do is try to change the rules to suit your needs. That's not who we should be. That's not who we should ever be. I want you to hear one more. I played this earlier this morning. It is of President Biden. Again, this goes all the way back to 1983 when he was a senator back then. And court packing, the idea of court packing, of adding Supreme Court justices that this president gets to name so that they would be ideologically aligned with him, so then they could rule on cases the way that he would like. I'll tell you the fallout to that, but I want you to hear him defending a president that had the idea of doing it and what he thought of the idea.
President Roosevelt clearly had the right to send to the United States Senate and the United States Congress a proposal to pack the court. It was totally within his right to do that. He violated no law. He was legalistically absolutely correct. But it was a bonehead idea. It was a terrible, terrible mistake to make. And it put in question, for an entire decade, the independence of the most significant body, including the Congress, in my view, the most significant body in this country, the Supreme Court of the United States of America. The president had the right to do that. He was totally within his power, and his objective was seen clearly.
Now, what you know, we all know what the Roe v. Wade decision did. It would send the issue of abortion back to the states where your legislators and your voters can decide on what to happen with that law. There is a big push here in Arizona to get a law on the books protecting abortions for women. And will they gather the signatures yet necessary? I think it's 375,000 signatures have to be gathered, and they've got to get them by July 7th, I believe it is, to get them on the November ballot. Will they be able to? There's a chance they will. This is a big issue for people. I am not a fan of a propositional form of government, and here's why. Whatever that law is, may or may not be explained to people that are voting for it. So there are people that are said that believe, hey, I'm not pro-choice for me. I would never do it, but it should be protected for women. But if that law, let's say, allows abortions until the third trimester. I don't know what would be in this proposal, but let's just go there for a minute. If it expands well beyond 15 weeks and saying that a woman can have an abortion even later in her pregnancy, if it takes away all restrictions, whatever that case may be, if the voters of Arizona pass that proposition, it becomes law. And because of the Arizona Constitution and our rules on propositions, it would remain the law as written and could not be rescinded, could not be reduced, could not be reined in without a two-thirds majority of both the House and the Senate, which means you get what you get. And with the passion of this issue, people voting for something when they think maybe they're just protecting rights, but when they find out how expansive it is, how can it be changed? I don't like our propositions for even the things that have been passed that I agree with. I think we have legislators for a reason. In a moment, we're going to pick up the debate. Going to let you hear a little bit of what happened in last night's debate. And who won? Did anybody come out ahead? We'll talk about that coming up in a couple of moments.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Thanks again for being here. Appreciate you spending some time with the show. There was a Republican debate last night. I don't know if you've heard about it, but it got contentious, and Ted Simons was the moderator. Where do we start with some of this? Let's start with, obviously, the two leading candidates in all of this, and I mean no disrespect to the other two candidates, but the two most well-known candidates in this are Carrie Lake and Karen Taylor Robeson, and they have been going head-to-head at a lot of different issues. So this is the first time a lot of people had the ability to see Scott Neely or to see Paolo Tuliani-Zen, and so they were new to the stage, but they jumped right into the fray. But we're going to start with Robeson Lake. This is what is happened. Well, you'll hear it. This is Karen Taylor Robeson and a reference to Ronald Reagan by Carrie Lake.
I work for Ronald Reagan. She's no Ronald Reagan. She was.
But people change.
You know what? She found God, guns, and the GOP about a day and a half before she decided to run for governor.
So this is where the debate has been. Carrie Lake is a former Democrat. Carrie Lake donated money to political campaigns like John Kerry and Barack Obama. And her response to all of that has been that she changed, that people change. Ronald Reagan was a Democrat and Donald Trump was a Democrat. So that's where this back and forth came in. They talk about voting records, but there was a line by Carrie Lake that it seemed like this debate had devolved into an SNL skit. Here's what she said.
I feel like I'm on an SNL skit here. Are we going to take control of the debate?
We are taking,
no,
Carrie, I don't want
you to
try.
I'm happy to do it.
I know you would be happy to do it.
So it just gets contentious. I felt bad for Ted. I have to tell you, I felt bad for him. That is not an easy crowd. You're talking about four type A personalities. Every one of them is a fighter. And whether you agree with their positions or you don't, every one of them was there and were going to stand their ground, and they weren't going to take it if someone talked about them. And Ted Simons is trying to get into a conversation, and everybody just kept interrupting. So the question was asked about election integrity. And so Ted asks Carrie Lake about the Biden presidency and it being illegitimate.
Carrie, we'll start with you. You've called Joe Biden an illegitimate president. What does that mean?
He lost the election and he shouldn't be in the White House. We had a corrupt election. I'd actually like to ask everybody on this stage if they would agree we had a corrupt, stolen election. Raise your hand.
I'm not going to play your stunt.
So what happened was three of the four candidates raised their hand saying that the election was stolen. Karen Taylor Robeson did not raise her hand. She qualified and said, I don't believe that the election is fair, but she didn't go as far as saying that it was stolen. So that, and I don't want to put words in any candidate's mouth on a contentious issue. That's the way I saw that. I heard what she said, and she'd be a better person to clarify exactly what she means, but she didn't go as far on the stage to raise her hand and call it a stolen election, but she said she didn't believe it was fair, and she went on with a list of reasons why she didn't believe it was fair. And so now this goes to certification of the election, where the moderator is asking about Carrie Lake and Karen Taylor Robeson, as governor, would you have certified the election?
You would not have certified our election.
No, I would not have.
Karen, would you have certified our election?
I didn't have the evidence in front of me.
Of course, I'm a
lawyer. I wouldn't act. It's like acting on a piece of legislation that I haven't read. So, I wasn't sitting there. I was not privy to the information.
She's a lawyer.
So this is, it devolved into what the voters got out of this. And this is my only concern. My only concern is there are a lot of voters who count on those debates that are televised as a time where they're going to get to meet a candidate and understand whether or not they'd be comfortable with that person as governor. You've got four people on that stage who largely agree on the issues. There's no doubt about that. If they were to list the top issues for America, the lists would be very, very similar. The way that they are going to handle those issues, what their vision is for handling those issues. They all talked about water. They talked about the border. They talked about inflation. They talked about a lot of different issues where they all agreed. But how would you tackle those issues as governor is where the difference is. And those are the details where voters are going to have to decide which person they're going to vote for. So I'll be honest with you. I have no idea what direction these campaigns are going to go after that debate. I don't know how the voters felt about who won the debate. From my personal perspective, and I think maybe in hindsight from the candidates, maybe I'm wrong, I would think that they would want to go back and have more of a debate where they could have a conversation of substance without being interrupted. And every one of them would say they were getting interrupted, so they jumped in. But it devolved a little bit. And I will say, I think Ted Simons did about as good a job as you could possibly do in controlling the atmosphere. I know there's a lot of people that may disagree with me. I've moderated debates. It's not easy when you get those type A personalities. It just is not easy. Coming up at 11 o'clock, there are very few Americans that think our economy is going in the right direction. A conversation about inflation next.